Hello, welcome to the Girl and Duck podcast. I'm Jen Storer, acclaimed children's book author and chief inspirationalist. That's not a term I made up. At girlandduck.com, creative writing, creative life. At Girl and Duck, I take you on a journey from exploring the art of kidlit creation right through to mastering the art of kidlit creation. To find out more about the courses and products that I offer, pop over to the website. You're bound to find inspiration and support and something to absolutely love over there. That's www.girlandduck.com. But in the meantime, stick around because we've got lots to talk about. So yesterday yesterday was Duck Pond office hours. I do a coaching call, a group coaching call once a month, the first Thursday of every month in the Duck Pond in Zoom. And everyone comes along who can make it. And we set goals together. We do writing exercises. We share our writing. And we also do a Q&A where people ask me all sorts of questions about writing and publishing and all those sorts of things. And it's a really, really beautiful time that we have together. I always really look forward to it and come away super, super energized. Now that we have Zoom too, it's so much more fun because people can unmute themselves and actually talk and they can share their writing and do stuff like that. So it's even better than a Facebook Q&A. So yeah, it's a real bonding session and it's recorded. So anyone who misses it can then, you know, when they get a chance, they can kick back and watch the recording and play along with us, do the goal setting session with us, do the writing prompts as well. And of course, pick up lots of tips and tricks from the Q&A sessions because, you know, most of the questions relate to most of the people most of the time. That's what I'm always saying. So yesterday was our Q&A for this month, March 2023. And one of the writing exercises that I set was I set a timer for 5 minutes and I asked everybody to describe what they were wearing that day, right, like the entirety from undies right through to socks and shoes and perfume and lipstick and, you know, someone described their hair tie. So, you know, getting into the nitty gritty. But what I wanted them to do and what I asked them to do and what was so much fun was I wanted them to expand on why they were wearing each article of clothing or the story behind that article of clothing. And that's when it got really, really interesting because one of the things I'm always saying is that the fascination is always in the detail. And the detail doesn't have to be particularly mind-blowing in order to be fascinating because we are fascinated by each other as human beings. We just have a fascination with each other and we want our readers to have a fascination with our characters, and the way that we can orchestrate that or make that happen is by revealing certain details about our characters. And I am passionate about what my characters wear. I put a lot of thought into it. Now, I don't always describe that in the actual text, but I know it. It's really important to me. I was at I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of writer's festival or some kind of talk. I don't know. Anyway, years and years ago when an author stood up and he said that, I think it was in response to a question about, you know, what characters wear. And he said quite, you know, pompously from my memory, that he didn't give a rip what his characters were wearing. It was of no consequence to him, not interested. But, you know, I beg to differ because I think what we wear says reams about us. And again, it's not just about our style, which of course is fascinating, but it's about the story that each article of clothing carries. You know, you might have bought it at an op shop, you might have you know, someone in the group was wearing a maternity bra because they hate bras with underwires. You know, don't we all You know, this sort of stuff, it's so raw and so real, and it gives you this insight and this direct line straight into your character's psyche and heart. So I just wanted to talk a little bit more about that today and encourage you all to think about what your characters are wearing, and also think about what their friends are wearing and what their nearest and dearest is wearing. And perhaps as when you're writing character bios, and this goes for you if you're writing adult fiction too, of course it does. You know, when you're doing the bios, you know, flesh out your character's style and the stories behind different articles of clothing. One of our members literally left and came back, you know, during the Zoom session and got out of her wardrobe a stunning black velvet vintage frock that she'd bought years ago at a vintage shop in Sydney. And she told us a whole story around this frock and when she wore it and why she bought it and how it then went on to inspire a character in one of her stories and in her illustrations. And it was just this stunning sort of Morticia frock, and we were just all hanging on it, you know, like wishing we could squeeze ourselves into it, because it was, you know, just one of those long narrow sort of velvet numbers. It was just stunning. So, you know, so that sparked lots of conversation, but it brought people to life, because people come to life when they talk about their costumes, because that's what your clothes are. Every single day you're wearing some kind of costume for the stage that is your life. And even if your costume says, I don't care, it's still saying something, isn't it? It's saying something about where you are emotionally, where you are physically even, you know, where you are in terms of what you're trying to achieve or not achieve, what you're letting go, what you're shedding, chopping and changing your style to suit your mood. I was speaking to someone recently. I did a human design session. And if you don't know human design, forgive me for talking about it, but I'll just talk about it quickly. So my human design chart, I am a 3-5 projector, which makes me, you know, a fairly strange little person. And but I have multiple open centers. The only defined center, I only have two defined centers in my human design, and that is my heart and my solar plexus, I think. And the rest of my centers are open, which means that I, you know, in practical terms, I don't have a fixed style, which is something that I've grappled with all my life. I've always wondered why I couldn't settle on a particular style. You know, one minute I want to be hippie, the next minute I want to be theatrical, the next minute I want to be vintage, the next minute I want to be capsule. You know, I have leant heavily towards capsule actually in the last few years, and it's worked really well for me. But I call my capsule wardrobe a fractured capsule, because I keep in the background other clothing and other outfits for when I'm in my goth phase, or, you know, whatever it is, that mood that really strikes me that I have to, or my witchy mood, that I have to pull out other stuff, because I cannot marry myself to one look. Whereas my friend, who was my human design consultant, she was showing me her chart, and she is fixed in those centers that relate to style and self-expression. And so she was explaining to me that, you know, if you went back to the 1990s, she was still wearing, you know, she is still wearing now the styles and the colors that she was wearing back then. It's just been really steady and really predictable. She always turns up basically as herself in this one form of expression that she's super comfortable with. And that is, you know, reflected in a human design chart. I think that's just fascinating. Take or leave it, you know, I'm not saying that human design is anything other than a fascinating tool to play with. I'm not saying it's, you know, that's the law, but it does give you, like astrology, it gives you incredible insights into your personality and the way that you do things, and some, and the way that you might trip up on certain aspects of your personality that have frustrated you. Again, this comes back to me for style. Style has frustrated me for decades, not being able to settle. But now that I see my open chart and see all these open centers and realize that I am so open to influence, and it explains why I can't settle on one style. So there we go. That's a story, isn't it? That's a I hope an interesting story for you to hear that and to then take that away and think about it in terms of your own life. And that's what we're doing when we're writing stories and we're creating fiction and we're creating characters. We're making them real. And real people wear clothes. I don't know many that don't. Okay, I've tripped across a couple when I've accidentally wandered into a nudist beach. But, you know, basically, there's not a lot of people that don't wear clothes. And so the choices they make say reams about them. And of course, when we're creating characters, we can have a lot of fun with that because we can make up so much stuff about the clothing that the characters are wearing, and we can be on the lookout all the time. You know, I'm always, when I was writing the Truly Tan series, I was always spying on kids, you know, spying on kids in her age group, what they were wearing. Like literally, it was almost, you know, It was kind of, could have looked a bit creepy from the outside because, you know, I would be hiding behind a card stand, you know, those revolving card stands, you know, in a newsagent watching, you know, this kid and sort of cataloguing what she was wearing and how she had put that outfit together. A lot of kids in that 8 to 10 year old group wear what we would now call toddler chic, and that is a very, very interesting style. And it takes a lot of imagination and a nice stroke of rebellion to pull that off. Great style. And so Tan kind of fell into a little bit into that toddler chic sort of area. So I would spend a lot of time looking, researching, thinking about key elements of her outfits and what she's wearing, and likewise for her friend Gloria. But I'd also be thinking about her mum and her mum's style and what she might wear. And throughout all my books, all my stories, what people are wearing is very important to me. It is very much an inroad into their psyche and into their heart and into their backstory as well. Again, coming back to the choices that we make when every day when we pull something out, every article of clothing that we have in our wardrobe has a backstory to it. There's not a lot of clothing in my cupboard anyway that I don't remember where I got it and the situation under which I bought it, you know. Clothes hold a lot of memories and a lot of stories. So I just want to bring everybody's attention to that and say, have a think about what your characters are wearing. Have a think about the significance of what they're wearing. Have a think about the choices that they make in terms of how they put themselves together. And also, if you are going, you know, in deep with this, also when you're mocking it up, again, this doesn't have to actually end up in the story, but when you're mocking it up in your character bios and your character sort of sheets, think about sensory detail as well. You know, what this articles of clothing feel like against their skin, what they smell like, all that sort of stuff, and try and make it a much more embodied experience, the outfit. Again, I remember as a child having a dress that the local dressmaker had made for me. My mother had it made for me. It was a woolen, it was pink and red sort of checked thing, and it looked gorgeous. I loved it. But it was the most uncomfortable, hideous thing to wear because it scratched. You know, it scratched so hard against my neck that every time I had to put it on, usually for Sunday school, I went into a bit of a meltdown because this friggin' dress was so uncomfortable. And don't we all have memories of that from our childhood, from, you know, being shoved into things that don't express who we are or are really, really uncomfortable and make us miserable. So again, I don't want to end on a miserable note. Let's think of the outfits that lift our spirits and make us feel great and convince us that we are, you know, Cindy Crawford. There you go. I'm aging myself now. But, you know, those sorts of outfits that really do lift our spirits and make us feel gorgeous or empowered or rebellious or, you know, giving the finger to the man, anything like that. You know, the craze back in the 90s with the, when I was, girls at uni that used to wear petticoats over top their jeans, you know, as an outer item. It was such a rebellious thing that was happening in the 90s. I don't see as much of that around now, underwear as outerwear. All these sorts of crazes and things that go on, they all add to our characters. They all add to the makeup of our story world and Of course, you can go completely wild if you're writing fantasy, but that's sort of another show, isn't it? Yeah. So think about what your characters are wearing and mock something up. Mock up even if it was a sort of a style board or a Pinterest file where you collect images of what your characters might wear or might prefer. It can be a lot of fun. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want more ducky goodness, pop over to the website www.girlandduck.com. Or you can find me on Instagram at Jen E. Storer, J-E-N-E-S-T-O-R-E-R. Bye for now.